and verse number 12. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." It says that in another place in Proverbs as well, I think in chapter 16. We've been studying about the general subject of witnessing for several months, and we're continuing along that line. And for a little while, maybe 3 or 4 weeks, we want to study about how to deal with specific cases. What do you say to Mormons? What do you say to atheists? What do you say to Catholics? What do you say to Seventh-day Adventists? You don't say the same thing to all of them. So we're going to take the time to think along those lines, because the Bible says, "Be ready to give an answer to every man." And people are very confused, and a lot of people have some religious history or affiliation, and you need to know where they're coming from. You need to know, for example, that many groups use Christian phrases, but they don't mean what the Bible means. For example, when a Catholic says he has received Christ, he means he opened his mouth and swallowed the wafer. He received Christ. He ingested Jesus, yes, in their theology. So we need to know what they're talking about. So we're going to think on the subject, the ways of death. This text says that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's possible to be sincere, but sincerity is not enough, because there's the possibility of being sincerely wrong. You can take medicine, think it's going to help you, and it can kill you. You were sincere, but there's more to it than sincerity. And a lot of religious people are sincere and would probably put us to shame with their devotion. And yet, there's more to it than sincerity. So I want to talk tonight a little bit about a group that is as devious as any group you've ever dealt with. And they have millions of members and influence tens of millions of people all over the world. And I'm going to talk about the history behind it, some of their doctrines, what to say to them. I just had the opportunity in the last week to deal with a fella who belongs to one of the splits off of this group. I want you to come to the realization, when we're all done here in a few weeks, that there ain't nobody like the Baptist. You do need to realize that. You do need to realize that things that are different are not the same. The reason they call a car a Ford and not a Chevrolet is there's some difference there. You know, they do have different names because there's some difference. They have some things in common. But the reason there's different names to different religious groups is because they're different. And we need to know the difference. And some of the differences are so big that it makes the difference between heaven and hell. And if I knew of any group closer to the Bible than the Baptists, I'd go join them. Amen. But there is not, and I'll prove that to you. But you need to know what you believe and why you believe it. And we'll start with the Seventh-day Adventists. And as I said, they are very devious. They have come to be accepted by the ecumenical movement in the last 10 years, which means they have now convinced Christians that they're Christians. Well, you be the jury tonight, and I'll let you decide when I'm all done if they're Christians or if they're just pretend to be. The cult of Seventh-day Adventism. It was started by Ellen G. White. She received 2,000 visions from the Lord, she said, between 1844 and 1915. All right. That should send alarm bells in your head immediately.
Right.
Number one, God don't speak to women.
Amen.
That's right. The Bible is very plain that a woman cannot usurp authority. She has no right whatsoever to teach or to preach to men. She can teach women. She can teach children. But she cannot assume any authority over men, according to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. I suffer not a woman to usurp authority over a man. The Bible is very plain. So this whole group was started by a woman. I thank God for women, but they're too busy to try to be preachers.
Right.
Amen. They've got too much to do to have to try to do that. What happened is, previous to Ellen G. White, there was a man named William Miller, and he was a Baptist and didn't know the Bible, and so he set a date and said the Lord was coming back in October of 1844, and the Lord didn't come back in 1844, so the Millerites split into different groups, and Ellen G. White started her own group, and it became known as the Seventh-day Adventist, and she said, well, you know, the Lord really did come back in October 1844, but he came back invisibly. And what happened is, he moved from the holy place in heaven to the most holy place and initiated the investigative judgment. And the whole false doctrine is based on a misinterpretation of a passage in Daniel. Remember when we were studying Daniel and I said these are the verses of the basis of Seventh-day Adventism, where it plainly says that it would take 2,300 days for the cleansing of the sanctuary, and then the Maccabees cleansed it. Well, they take that passage and say that means 2,300 years. Well, it says days. I mean, when the Bible says days, leave it alone. It means days. But they said it means years, and that's why they set the date. And Ellen G. White came along, and she had all kind of visions about what people should eat and different things. But it's unbiblical from the beginning. Number one, because it started by a woman. And number two, because they set a date for the return of the Lord. We're supposed to look for the Lord every day. But to set a date is totally wrong and unscriptural. We should always say he could come back at any moment. Seventh-day Adventism is a cult, which means that they don't teach the gospel. They teach salvation by works. They have to have other books besides the Bible, like Ellen's books, The Great Controversy, The Desire of Nations, and other books that she wrote through the years. So it is indeed a cult, and it's based around a figurehead. She plainly taught salvation by works. The fellow I was talking to the other day is the Worldwide Church of God, which is a split off of Adventism. Some of you heard of Herbert W. Armstrong and Ted Armstrong. They were Seventh Day. They were very mixed up, cultist. But anyway, I said to this fellow the other day, I said, how do you get to heaven? Of course, they don't believe in heaven, so he didn't like that from the beginning. But I said, how do you get right with God? And he said, by obeying the law. Not by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by what you do. You earn it. And then, if you ever get, of course, they say you can never have eternal life. That's after the general resurrection. You never know if you're saved. They don't even use the word saved. Now, let me stop and say this. I'm talking about doctrine here. We love everybody. We love the people. But when somebody's got cancer, tell them the truth. Don't tell them they got a cold when they're dying. They need to know the truth. Tell them the truth. So, salvation is by grace. It's not by works. But Adventism teaches that you earn salvation eventually. And they also say that if you commit one sin, you've lost it. So, what's the use? What's the use? Pentecostalism teaches the same thing. You can be saved and go out here and say a cuss word and you lost it. No wonder there's such a high rate of suicide and psychological problems in various denominations. They keep people in bondage all the time. If I thought I could lose my salvation, I'd give it up, wouldn't you? Why, we'd all lose it every day if it was up to us to keep it. But we're kept by the power of God and sealed by the Holy Spirit till the day of redemption. Adventism is the modern-day counterpart of the legalizers that we read about in the New Testament. Remember those legalizers that came and troubled the churches of Galatia, and the whole letter of Galatians And part of Colossians is to correct the doctrinal error that is taught by Seventh-day Adventists. Their main doctrine is Sabbath keeping. That's why they're called Seventh Day, which is Saturday the Sabbath. On April the 3rd, 1847, Ellen White said she had a vision and she saw heaven, and she saw the Ten Commandments in heaven, in the heavenly ark, and she saw all Ten Commandments, but she said the commandment where it says to keep the Sabbath day had a halo of light around it, and she took that to mean that she should emphasize, remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Now, do you believe that?
No.
I don't believe that for one second. She had a vision, she saw heaven, she saw the Ten Commandments in heaven, and she saw a circle around the fourth one. How ridiculous can you get? But that's the whole foundation for this movement. You know what Hitler said? Tell a lie loud enough and long enough and everybody will believe it. And people are quicker to believe a lie. They are. They really are. People will believe a lie a whole lot quicker than they will the truth. And the Adventists are not ashamed of what I just told you. That comes out of their encyclopedia, page 1407. But at the same time, they're about as cunning as any group you'll ever deal with. You ever talk to somebody and they won't even tell you where they go to church? I remember some guys one day, they both had badges on, said they were Mormons. And I said, "You fellas are Mormons." And they both said, "No, we're not." I said, "You've got the name tag. It says Elder So-and-So, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints right there on your coat." But they denied it. I don't know if they were ashamed or didn't want me to talk to them or what. But the Seventh-day Adventists they're very slippery. For example, you can be reading a book and it don't say anywhere in the whole book, front, back, or center, that it's written by Seventh-day Adventists. It'll say Pacific Press. It'll say Review and Herald. They're headquartered in Washington, but they have offices in California as well. And I'll tell you something that you've all seen, and I'm sure you didn't know it was Seventh-day Adventist material. And that's in every dentist and doctor's office in America. There's these Bible story books called The Bible Story. Seen those? That's Seventh-day Adventist. If you don't believe it, turn over there where it reads about the Sabbath and their view of prophecy. The devil's tricky. He's a counterfeiter. And I remember when I worked at the radio station, there were radio programs that were Seventh-day Adventist, but it never one time said Seventh-day Adventist. It said Joe Cruz and Amazing Facts. And it sounded good. Of course it would. But it was totally false. Well, what about the Sabbath? Well, I believe everything the Bible says about it, and the Bible says that it was for the Jews. And we're not Jews. Of course, the Adventists know that it was for the Jews, and so they finally decided that they're going to have to say that they were Jews. So now they say they're Jews. There was a new doctrine invented called British Israelism that said that America is the lost tribe of Manasseh, and Great Britain is the lost tribe of Ephraim, and so now they say they're Jews. The devil's a liar. You read the book of Exodus. Read Exodus 31, where it plainly says the Sabbath is a sign between God and Israel, a token of His covenant. It says it many places. Nehemiah chapter 9. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12. The Sabbath was for the Jews. It was ceremonial, not moral. The moral law is still binding. Honor your parents. Don't steal. Don't kill. Don't covet. Don't commit adultery. That's all the moral law. And that's still in effect. That's binding. In fact, that's written on our hearts. That's written on every human conscience, according to Romans chapter 2. And wherever you go in this whole wide world, they don't even have to have a Bible. They know you shouldn't kill. You shouldn't steal. You shouldn't lie. Why?
God said he put that as a preacher in every man's conscience. So that they without the law still perish. But you know what? There's never been a group of people way out in the jungles that knew from their conscience that they should observe Saturday. Never. That's never happened. Why? Because that was a ceremony given to one nation, not a moral law binding upon all people. But according to the Seventh-day Adventists, we should all keep the Sabbath day. No, that was for the Jews, and we're not the Jews. And in fact, it is a terrible doctrine to say that we're the Jews. When you say we're the Jews, that's kicking them out of the place that God has for them. That's robbing them of the glorious future that God has planned for them. And the Seventh-day Adventists say that they're just one tribe over there in Israel, that they're the tribe of Judah. Well, any doctrine that diminishes the Jews is not of God. So Sabbath keeping is ceremonial and not moral, and all the ceremonial law ended at the cross, according to Colossians 2, 16 and 17. There's nothing wrong with worshiping every day of the week, as far as that goes. If you had church every day, that'd be all right. But they say that the Bible requires it and that the worship on any other day is wrong. And in fact, they say that worshiping on Sunday is going to be the mark of the beast. Wow. That's what they say. The Bible does command us to worship on Sunday. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Read the New Testament. There's no command in the New Testament for Gentile believers to observe the Sabbath. This is critical because this is their main issue. And if you don't know what to say, they will badger you to death. I know some people that have been driven almost to a mental breakdown working side by side with Seventh-day Adventists. They will harass you. Not all of them, but the ones I've dealt with, and I'll give you a few examples in just a moment. Because somebody's wrong and somebody's right. The perfect opportunity to say that we should meet on the Sabbath day was Acts 15. The Jerusalem Council. So many Gentiles were getting saved. People were asking, well, are these new Gentile believers supposed to observe the holy days of the Old Testament? Are they supposed to observe the Sabbath day? Well, what are they supposed to do? And the council met, Acts 15, that was the perfect opportunity to say the Gentile believers should also keep the Sabbath. That's not what they said. Didn't say a word about keeping the Sabbath. They said don't eat meat with blood or that's been strangled or that's dedicated to idols. And nothing, not a word about keeping the Sabbath day. Well, why in the world do we worship on Sunday? Because Jesus arose from the dead on Sunday, which is the greatest event in the history of the world. Amen. Which proves Jesus is the Messiah, which proves our sins are gone, which proves we too shall rise from the dead. We worship on Sunday, just like they did in the New Testament, Acts chapter 20. They worship on Sunday. Paul said it again in writing to the Corinthians, and again in the book of Revelation, as well as history. I could produce, we don't have the time, many, many quotes from the first century saying that the churches met on Sunday. Now, the Seventh-day Adventists say, y'all got that from the Catholic Church. Well, what's wrong about that is we were worshiping on Sunday for about 300 years before there ever was a Catholic. Pope Gregory was the first Catholic in the 4th century. So that's just another smokescreen. You know, if you want to make somebody look bad, you just say, you got that from the Catholic Church. And some things did come from the Catholic Church, like Calvinism. That did come from St. Augustine, one of the 12 church fathers, and we'll talk about that as well. That's the whole foundation of the Presbyterian Church. That is Catholic. But don't say that worshiping on Sunday came from the Catholic Church. That's ridiculous.
Well, that's their main false doctrine. Getting saved by your works and keeping the Sabbath. Let me mention a few others. Basically, they're wrong on everything, and the reason for that is, and this is what we need to understand, when people are all mixed up in their doctrine, that tells you something. They're not saved. Because the Bible is spiritually discerned, 1 Corinthians 2, and the reason they don't understand it is they can't understand it. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. You have to be saved to understand the doctrines of the Bible. If you're not saved, when you read the Bible, you're reading somebody else's mail. You have to be saved. And when you meet these people and they just think, can't comprehend the... Do you know, I've talked to people who... I mean, learned people who can't even understand that baptism is somebody saved and you put them under the water and you bring them up and the picture is death, burial, and rest, and they just can't get a hold of that and they think, no, we need to sprinkle babies. And you say, a baby can't repent. And they think, what do you mean? I don't get it.
Right.
They need to get saved. That's what they need. Because these are spiritual things. And that's a warning signal to you right away. So, Seventh-day Adventists hate the doctrine of the rapture, like most groups do. And, of course, they believe they're the 144,000 of the Revelation chapter 7. Of course, they have to fight the Jehovah's Witnesses. They think they're the 144,000. And we know who the 144,000 are. There's 12,000 Jewish men from each of the 12 tribes who preach the gospel to Israel and the world in the tribulation period. That's what it says. And of course, they have to say that they're the 144,000. They believe in soul sleep. They believe that when you die, that's it. You die like an animal. If you're a believer and you tried to do the best you could, and you sleep in the grave to the great resurrection day sometime, you don't go to heaven. You don't go to hell. They say you just sleep in the grave. Soul sleep. I worked with a fella. He was a Seventh-day Adventist preacher. And he said to me one day, he said, I hate all those songs you play about heaven. And I thought, my soul, how can you be saved and be a preacher and hate songs about heaven?
Amen.
Must not be going.
Right.
But they don't want to talk about heaven. One of them said to me not so long ago, he said, I hate to go to funerals and hear the preachers talk about people being in heaven. Well, why? The Bible says absent from the body is present with the Lord. The Bible says, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. The body is mortal and sleep. The soul and spirit is immortal. And the split second you die, your soul and spirit, if you're saved, go straight to heaven. Bible is very plain about that. And if you're not saved, the second you die, your soul and spirit go straight to hell, just like the rich man in Luke chapter 16 closed his eyes in death, opened his eyes in hell. He could see, he could smell, he could speak, he could hear, he could feel the pain and spoke of the torments as he spoke to Father Abraham. You know, sinners are comforted by this religion because they also teach annihilation, which means if you die as a sinner, you die as an animal, and that's it. There is no hell. You'll never go. That's the end of you. You never have to face God, never be punished. And sinners like that. No hell. Annihilation. They even teach that the devil's going to be burned up and gone. Well, I read one day to an Adventist, Revelation 20:10, where it says that the devil will be cast in the lake of fire and tormented day and night forever and ever. I showed that to a Seventh-day Adventist, and he said, that don't go along with what our religion teaches. I said, well, that's the Bible.
The devil's not going to be burned up to ashes. He's going to be tormented forever. And so is everybody else that follows the devil. And then some of them believe in universalism, which means everybody's going to be saved. A lot of Mormons believe that, as well as Muslims. But anyway, we love these people. Don't get me wrong. If you don't know the Bible calls names, read it. Jesus said, beware of the doctrine. He said, beware of those Sadducees, those Pharisees, those Herodians. And Paul mentioned Alexander and Hymenaeus and Philetus and other cult leaders and false doctrine. You got to name these people and groups because they're dangerous. And if somebody was brought up in the Seventh-day Adventist church, never heard the gospel, then they would die and go to a hell they don't even believe in. And I don't care how sincere they are, and they could know the writings of Ellen White inside out. But God wrote the Bible. He didn't write the great controversy.
Amen.
And it does matter what you believe, and they do not preach the gospel. And they teach you got to be baptized as well, and you just got to obey the law and do everything you possibly can. I believe in baptism, but it don't save you.
Right.
Ain't got nothing in the world to do with saving you. I heard one of these Seventh-day Adventist preachers one time on television. I listened to them just a little bit, just so I can use their words against them.
Right.
And he said his brother had died, and he wasn't sure if he was a Christian or not, or if he'd done enough good works, or he said his brother hadn't been baptized, and it really troubled him. And he said, well, what I did about that is I just asked God to put the baptism of Jesus over on my brother. And I said, man, where do you come up with wacky stuff like that? That's what he said. And he's on television. Why don't we ever put good people on television? Amen. You know what my mom used to say? She used to say poor people have poor ways. And the spiritually poor have poor ways.
Right.
And you just measure any false doctrine or group of the Bible and it's mighty poor. Well, I'm closing here. I was talking to a Seventh-day Adventist preacher one time. So-called. There's no such thing as that. God don't call men to tell a lie.
Amen.
Any preacher that tells a lie is not God called. Don't you blame God with error.
Amen.
Amen. They're devil called. Go home and read 2 Corinthians 11, and it says the devil has his ministers.
Right.
A man that don't even know the gospel is not God called. Well, anyway, I was talking to this fellow one night. He was a Seventh-day Adventist preacher in Londonderry, Northern Ireland. He said to me, he said, I don't like what you just said. He said, you said that if you're not saved, you're a child of the devil. I said, that's exactly what I said. I said, that is right. I said, I'll show it to you right here in the Bible. John 8:44. Ye are of your father, the devil. I said, right there, Jesus said, if you're not saved, your father's the devil. He said, I disagree with that. I said, that's Jesus Christ speaking. I said, one of the two is wrong. You or Jesus. And I know who it is. Anybody that's not gotten more sense than to disagree with Jesus? If I look like I'm getting upset, I'm getting upset.
Amen.
Because they think they're smarter than Jesus? You do have to be saved to be a child of God.
Amen.
Well, that's just a few things about Adventism. We love them. We pray for them. They need the Lord. They need the Bible. But we don't trust in the visions of Ellen White. She's probably demon-possessed.
Right.
And God don't speak through visions. He speaks through the Bible.
Right.
Amen. He's got something to say to you. He'll speak through His Word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall not pass away. If this was a Seventh-day Adventist church tonight, the preacher would be getting up and saying, folks, I've been reading in the marvelous writings of Ellen G. White, our founder. And oh, God spoke to her hundreds and thousands of times and brought about our wonderful
denomination. If I was a Mormon tonight, I'd be saying, we thank God for Joseph Smith and how he translated the Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics and gave us the Book of Mormon, and we're the fastest growing Christian religion in the world. If this was a Jehovah's Witness church tonight, I'd be talking about Charles Taz Russell and Judge Rutherford and our organization in Brooklyn, New York, and our printing press that never stops. If I was a Lutheran tonight, I'd be bragging on Martin Luther. If I was a Methodist tonight, I'd be bragging on John Wesley. If I was a Presbyterian tonight, I'd be bragging on John Calvin and John Knox. If I was a Church of Christ, I'd be talking about Alexander Campbell. If I was a Muslim, I'd be talking about Muhammad and Allah. But I'm a Christian. And I talk about Jesus Christ. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. And Paul, and James, and Peter. And all these others are a bunch of liars, fanatics, and phonies. Every one of them, not a single one of them, understands that you're saved by grace and kept by grace. I've read their books, their catechisms, their creeds, their doctrinal formulas at their infant baptism, the words of their founders. You got to be saved to go to heaven, and the meanest people in the world are Baptists a lot of times. But friend, the Bible is the only authority. We recognize no other authority but the Bible. So when you're witnessing to people, you need to have an idea where they're coming from. And when they say to you that they're Seventh-day Adventists, now you know a little bit of where they're coming from. And I feel sorry for people that are brainwashed. And that fellow the other day, I was trying to witness to him, and he was trying to witness to me, and he's trying to brainwash me. And he said, do you know who the king of the south is in Daniel? I said, I do, it's Egypt. He said, oh no, it's not, it's Iran. I said, man, aren't you embarrassed to not know what south is? I mean, look at your map. South, it means below. He said, the king of the north? That's Syria. He said, that's Germany. Man, you're off about 1,500 miles. You see, the devil just loves to make fools out of people. That's right. All these healing meetings, people come forward, bark like dogs, hoot like owls, levitate. That's foolishness. As absolute foolishness. If anybody had the gift of healing, he should empty Fry Hospital tomorrow. There is no such thing. It just sounds good, and it's a money racket. And we better make sure we know what the Word of God says so we don't be deceived. So beware of Seventh-day Adventism. It's a cult. It's a false doctrine. Beware. The Bible says to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Bart Brewer was a Catholic priest. He got saved. After he got saved, he realized he needed to quit going to the Catholic church, so he went to the closest church to his house, which was Seventh-day Adventist. He had just been saved a few days. But you know what his testimony is? He says, all I knew, I was saved. But when I sat in those services just for a few weeks, the Spirit of God said to me, get out of there. That's error. And he did. He got out of there. And I believe the Spirit of God bears witness, and I believe you know the truth and you know error. I heard a man on the radio one night, years ago. He said, I prophesy. And when you hear that, you know he's a liar. He said, I prophesy that Ronald Reagan will be killed in office. That didn't happen. Made him a false prophet, didn't it? You know what? You know what they did to false prophets in Deuteronomy? Put them to death. Because a false prophet is a criminal and deserves a death penalty. That's right. That's why Elijah killed 850 of them on Mount Carmel. There could be nothing worse than for any country than a bunch of false prophets running around. Well, thank God for the truth. And let's buy the truth and sell it not, as Solomon said. This fellow said to me the other day, he said, why are there so many religions and denominations? And I said, well, that's easy. The reason there's so many counterfeits is because there's a real thing. Sure. Whenever you have a counterfeit, that means somewhere there's a real thing. They don't counterfeit gravel, but they do counterfeit diamonds. Why? Because the real thing's valuable. And the truth is valuable, and that's why there's so many counterfeit. There's counterfeit Bibles. There's counterfeit churches, denominations. And they make it look real, and they call it the real thing, and they count on the fact that a lot of people don't know the difference. When my mom and dad came to Ireland, we went to a little shop and the fellow showed my dad all the counterfeit money that had been given to him. One day I went to the bank in Ireland and the bank gave me counterfeit money. That was a weird feeling, because I tried to spend it later and they said, this is counterfeit. I said, I just got that at the bank. You see, somebody was good at that counterfeit. And the devil's had 6,000 years experience. And a lot of these groups, they look the part and they talk it. They talk it. They really do. And they have thousands of people. And you watch it on television, see the big churches and the big groups and the 10 largest churches in the world tonight, in the name of Christianity, are full of false doctrine, charismatic churches. Don't even know the gospel. Just because something is big and looks right does not mean it is right. You better check it out by the King James. See if it's true or if it's false. Because there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Bible says. I appreciate your attention. I hope you realize, I know you do,